Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, what possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. It's Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hey, so what I was wondering about this question was, having an attitude of play and the experience I want to have, but then being okay that life is a series of challenges and not falling into the lies that conditioning says about the what it means that it's life is a series of challenges, so that I can have an attitude of play.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, Elizabeth, it might be possible to change the word from challenge. Now, maybe challenge, excuse me, has a perfectly fine connotation, which is wonderful. So let's see if this works for you, okay? So you're going to do a series of jumps on a horse. Is that a good image?
It's not exactly what I was thinking of, but I can go with it.
Okay, all right. So we could call those jumps challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a negative thing. It's what, or, you know, you're a track and field person and you're going to jump over hurdles. They're challenges, but it's what you're doing. They're not stumbling blocks. They're not mistakes. It's not something that shouldn't be there. There's nothing wrong with this, what's in front of me. It is what I'm doing. So in that sense, from a spiritual perspective or an awareness practice perspective, we could say they're opportunities. Because I get to see how I do. I get to see what arises when I confront this, when I face this. I get to see how I do, what the judgments, you know, all of those kinds of things.
Right. And the lie that makes everything not playful is that if a challenge has a lot of time, money, or energy involved, which is often the case, you know, it's either time mm-hmm. or money or energy, then mm-hmm. that doesn't mean it's, you know, a bad thing, an unfun thing.
That's right. Because if I want to take Olympic gold in the backstroke, then I'm going to have to pay for a good coach. I'm going to have to afford to be able to go swimming all the time. I'm going to have to travel to places for events. So all of those things are going to be involved. There's going to be time, money, energy, everything involved in that. But if it's what I want to do, then it's money and time and energy well spent. It's for me.
Okay. And that's right. And then have you had an experience in your life where there was a, I don't want to say the word problem, that's why I say challenge, and it was kind of a hot mess, but you still could have a no easy solution in sight right away, but you could still have an attitude of play resolving that or being with
sure.
it?
Yes, and there we get into things like math problems, right, where it's a complete head scratcher. And there's just no way to, I just can't see a way to solve it.
Yes.
It just doesn't seem possible. But I don't
yes.
give up because I want to have the experience of attempting to solve it. And I might, or I might not. But it will be resolved in some way. Either I will concede that this is beyond my ability right now, and time will just simply pass, or it will occur to me what the solution is, and there will be that resolution.
Uh-huh. And so you can have an attitude of play with a head scratcher that
Absolutely.
You might not be able to resolve.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
In fact, when we get the hang of enjoying challenges, because we realize that all that talks us out of challenges is ego, who wants to make problems and something wrong out of everything and wants us not to engage in life. But when we realize that participation and engagement is what lights us up, then there is that enjoyment of and seeking out the next place that's going to put me in touch with and show me that internal guidance.
Thank you. Thank you. This is just the hugest place where ego says life can't be fun. It's a big, expensive, or hassle-y place, and and it makes challenges into a victim place. And I want to know how it can be a fun play attitude place.
That's right. And what I suspect you suspect is that the playful attitude is what takes you out of being a victim, right? Because if you're having a good time, there's no way you're a victim. Ego wants us to be a victim. Ego wants to be the victim because then, everybody feels sorry for me and I just have to lie on the couch and eat junk food because life is so hard and I'm inadequate. But when we know we're not inadequate, then we want to jump up off that couch and get out there and participate.
Yes, because I am just officially, I'm sick of ego's, when there's a challenge, ego's orientation is, I can't win, I'm screwed, no matter what I do, it's not going to help, it's just a no-win hassle. And I'm like, I'm officially dieting of the mind, that ego orientation about a challenge.
Yes, good, because it's just not true. And the only thing it results in is no fun.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Elizabeth. No, Sherry, the thing that I was looking at in that is how is the process of ego in it, right? So if we think of ego as dualistic, then from that perspective, these are fun things and these are challenging things. Already there's a separation, right? That division really perpetuates that the three things that the Buddha says cause suffering, right? Attachment, aversion, and identity. So it divides the world into these are the things that you can participate in because they're good and you need to pursue them and get attached to them. And these are the things in the world that you have to avoid and therefore suffer over if they happen to you. And it's just, it's almost like there's a manipulation of a training in terms of what you can be with in life. And the suffering, if suffering is defined as not wanting it to be the way it is, and half of the world is defined, half of the way the world is defined as not how I want it to be, that I have to run away from, then we're completely caught in that in suffering. But what you're suggesting is if we say that everything in the world is just simply what it is, and there's no need to attach to it or avoid it, whether it's hard or difficult is not something that I am experiencing when I'm with it, except when I'm in the conditioned process identifying it as a challenge.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I have whatever attitude of presence I want to bring to it, and have whatever experience of it that it actually is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then it just everything just builds. When you were describing that, I was thinking of improv. We were talking about this recently, how in improv you can never reject anything, right? It has to be yes, and when we have that approach to life, then the possibilities are endless. But if we're dividing things up into I like this, I don't like that, I want that, I don't want that, that's hard, that's easy, nothing builds, which is where Elizabeth got to, sick and tired of being victimized by ego.
Yes, and I would project too that as we go along the spiritual path, the places where we get stuck are the places where we need to bring unconditional love and acceptance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we thought that if I am stuck in aversion to something that is life, then life is going to not let me get unstuck until I can embrace that aspect of life as life and be with it rather than assume that it's happening to me. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Jill.
Well, hello.
What are you seeing?
Well, I got kind of swept up in that conversation, that's a keeper. That is a keeper. So now I'm like looking at my notebook. I'm like, what was I going to say? Well, I'll just start with what I'm looking at. So I manage a team of people, and oftentimes when we're in a meeting or something, I have this or something, there's an opportunity to be playful, and I often will take it. But there's one member of the team that just like takes it too far in conditioning's view. And, you know, she goes in a whole crazy direction, and it's disruptive. And so that brings up all sorts of, like, what have I created here? I shouldn't have started playing. And now we're in a ditch. And, you know, the energy is completely not oriented towards work. I feel like we're never going to recover from it. I was looking at, so basically the merging of these two processes. One is, you know, the play process, which I just love, and I love to engage in it, and also this, you know, responsibility process. I forget how I phrased it, but it was something like when I'm in that boss role and I have to get something done, the sense of responsibility, that's what it was. So when I have a sense of responsibility to do something, what it, you know, how does play sort of work in that, especially in this when I have this person who's basically, you know, who's my spiritual opportunity, as we just talked about. And so, you know, it's been, I got a bunch of characters that came out, and so the self-hating voices are, you know, what happens is I meet, you know, there's a person who comes out who needs to control it and who starts to regret that we ever got started on this path. And so that's sort of along the lines of what the hating voices are about. It's like, you know, you aren't skilled enough to do this properly without being controlling. How did you end up with these losers? <That's another one. laughs>
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with them?
Right. We're
What's wrong with you? What's wrong
here?
With them?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, and so, seeing a lot.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And so it doesn't seem possible. Well, and it wouldn't. What you're pointing out is really, it's critical. There's this surgical element to it, right?
Mm.
So there you are having fun, and then it tips, right? And the critical voice comes in to take over.
Yeah.
So there's no opportunity for, all right, everybody, time to reel it in, back to focus, right? That person who could actually have fun with everybody getting kind of rowdy and carrying on, and then everybody coming back to focus, that person can't be there. Because that person, the person who's in the meeting, is being controlled by those voices.
Yes.
Right? Such that there's no playful transition.
Yes.
Between
exactly.
joking around and back to work.
That so, you're.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just, I'm nodding, but you can't see me, but Yeah, you're exactly right. It's that when the play goes off in a different direction, what gets thrown out is the process of what conditioning throws out in me too is the process of play. So it's not just the content of it, but that process is suddenly not available because it all needs to get shut down instead of exactly what you're saying. And so the control person comes out rather than staying in the play and then being able to, and it's funny, I'm on vacation today, and so I'm, like, reliving all of this, like, work-related stuff, and it's just, like...
On your vacation
day. On my vacation, I'm like, too bad this wasn't a work day, but, it's
they're probably having fun without you.
I know. I actually thought that earlier today. I'm like, I'm sure they're just, whatever, throwing balloons around and, whatever.
And, you know, Jill, if we substitute the word enjoy for play, in a situation like this, it feels easier to see the transition, right? So you're enjoying being together. You're enjoying making jokes and laughing, and then you enjoy returning focus to what you're doing, what you're working on.
Yes. Yeah.
And all of that can be equally enjoyable if we're there for it, right? If we're present. But as soon as ego comes in, it becomes play and serious. And of course, play is not at all valued by ego. So then serious needs to assert itself in order to reel these losers in and find you another job, which you're never going to be able to get because you're the team leader loser. And all that ugliness just roars into existence.
Exactly.
Well, good to see.
Great. Good to see. Yeah. Good to see.
Yeah.
Thank you
so much.
It's going
to be fun to get back to work.
I know. I feel armed. I feel like I have some, you're exactly right. That now I'm curious about it because so much is coming up while we're talking about, like, well, what, I just have a lot more questions about what's going on. So now I have something to look forward to. So thank you.
Yes. All right. Something to enjoy. Something to play with.
Something
Thank you,
to
Jill.
Play with. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jill. We were just looking at this in the communication book, right, Cherry, that part of what happens in identification is a collapsed awareness.
Uh-huh.
And so that when the aspect takes over, then that's all there is. And I was just thinking about play in the sense of a play, right? I can be completely the character of the boss and know that I'm playing a part in a comedy, right? And that's only available if that awareness doesn't collapse. And that's really the metaphor that's so often used for our lives, that we become identified with the part as who we are, and lose the sense of we're just engaged in a large play. We all have our roles and we have scripts, and at times we can get out of the play and sit down in the audience if we wanted to. But when that aspect of ego just takes over, we lose the sense of that.
Mm-hmm. And the sense that the whole thing is a joyful process.
Right.
I imagine when an actor goes from, there's a point when somebody decides to be a serious actor, right? And before, and then I'm sure it gets ego-driven and grim for a lot of people. But before that, if you want to be in a play, it's because you enjoy doing that, right?
Yes.
It's fun. It's enjoyable. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's
what you were talking to Elizabeth. It's what you were talking to Elizabeth about. This is what I want to do.
Yes.
Not what I feel is, you know, and again,
if we play with the character of control, and the reason that feels serious is probably because it's not a place that I inhabit joyfully for all kinds of messages that I have been given about who and how I am when I move into that role or in this situation or what the expectation is. And so to work with that allows us to receive a lot more freedom while we inhabit the character, right? All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. It's Linda from Alabama.
Hello, Linda. What are you seeing?
Are you? Let's see. I don't know. let's see. Play. I'm happy to be here. And
good. Good.
I like to play. And I think what I'm seeing mostly is that I tend to put play in sort of at the end of my list, or it's like if I have a lot of time, which doesn't happen very often, then I put in some play. But if not.
If you have nothing else that you can put on your to-do list, right?
All right.
Play. Play is at the end of it. Yeah, I bet you are not alone in that.
Right. So that was probably my biggest thing that I see. And then also, you know, just when I am playing, when I'm doing something fun, considered fun, not trying to make work fun, but actual fun, I tend to spend a lot of my time thinking that I should be doing something else.
Uh-huh. It, like productive, something meaningful.
Mm-hmm. What am I going to do as soon as I finish this playing? What productive thing am I going to do as soon as I finish this?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And so with that something that you just said, like real play, not trying to make work play or real fun, trying to make work fun. So clearly there is that strong belief that work is very different from play. Right? There's productive, meaningful, which is also, I bet, hard and serious and exhausting.
Don't like it. Right.
Yeah, but you have to do it. That's the thing to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do like, and, I do sort of, when I get into my work and get really focused on it, though, it is a pleasurable.
Yes. Okay. Now,
so
there,
I'm not
I
always
think we have another clue there.
Right.
When you get focused on it, it's pleasurable.
Right.
But, and right. I'm hoping... We all are relating, Linda. What's happening almost all the time is we are not focused on what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
We're in a conversation and conditioned mind about, oh, God, and why is she there, and then that, and then I got to do that, and then that, and that didn't work, and this, right? And that is not pleasurable.
No. No, it is not. And yeah, the other thing that's funny to me about the whole play thing is that I find the whole thing about please don't make me do that, which I know is ego, happens whether it's work or play. You know, it's like oh, I should go out and swim in the pool a little bit. Oh, please don't make me do that. Or I should work on my budget. Now, please don't make me do that. I'm either one. I see that.
Wow.
I see
that is really helpful, isn't it? But
yeah,
I mean, that is as clear a depiction of ego as anybody is ever going to have. Oh, please don't make me do that. Okay.
So anytime I hear that,
you know what that is, right? Do you still fall for it?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean,
mostly
I don't
not.
Do whatever it is. Whether I may recognize that that's what's going on, but I may not always do whatever it is, you know, that it's
that ego doesn't want to do. Wow.
Right.
Okay. Well,
which
then
is pretty
let's
much
just, yeah, let exactly because all it's doing is controlling you. That's its whole deal. So whether you swim in the pool or work on your budget or paint your toenails or dig in the garden, it doesn't matter to ego. The only thing that matters is getting you to do or not do what it says. That's it.
Right, okay.
And that's another great picture of it. So when it says that to you, you can know, aha, that's ego trying to control me. And if that occurs to you, you will have all the energy that you need to look and see what you would like to do in that moment.
Right.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be what ego said not to do. That's not the point. The point is recognizing what's going on, that process, and not letting ego call the shots in your life. Yeah.
And kind of trying to figure out what, sometimes I try to take a few breaths and go, okay, what does my heart want to do?
Yes. Yes. What now, life? Here I am.
What now? I like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Well, those are big. Thank you, Linda.
Yeah. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Good to hear your voice. Go happy.
You too. Go happy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Linda. We have one more caller. Sherry, time for one more caller. So here we go.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hello, Kate.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, my gosh. Good morning. I am seeing so much on this call. It was so perfectly timed. My mind's exploding right now. It was perfectly for me. I don't even know where to start. First, you're using play and joy as a synonym is going to be super helpful for me because there's been like ego's reaction to trying to play and work has sort of been like that's not real and you're not feeling it and you must be like pressing down what you're really feeling and so just to bring joy to it sounds a little bit more it just gives some different language to it that feels like it can really help.
Yes, because as Jill was kind of pointing us toward, we may not be consciously aware of this, but ego defines play as going to work and throwing balloons around, you know, shooting spitballs at each other. play is, you know, you've got to be in middle school or grade school, right? And that's not how most adults play.
Right. Yeah. So that, first of all, is really helpful. The other thing that I'm finding is going on with me is I'm sort of feel like I'm in a kind of the fire hose of life right now, like just a lot of work, a lot of personal, a lot of content stuff. And I found myself really tired. And I'm questioning on this call really how much of that fatigue is from the conversation. And I think I'm seeing that going on just because of what we were saying with, you know, if it's what you want and what I'm really getting caught up in, I'm like trying to transition careers. So I'm getting caught up in, but you're not doing what you want right now. And but I am because it's part of the transition. So that was really
helpful
to see too.
That's right. And what you really want, I'm going to project wildly here, okay? What you really want is to be the very best person you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Which includes being the best worker you can be, being the best colleague you can be, being the best partner you can be, being the best friend you can be, being the best, and it's not standards. It's internal integrity.
Mm. Yes.
And that's what you want, right? And if you weren't successful at that, you would probably not be in the position you're in,
mm-hmm.
where you have all these big things in your life that you're doing, that you're engaged in. Is there, am I anywhere near the track?
Yes. Yeah. Gosh, I love that, the internal integrity.
Yeah,
that's really helpful.
So you've been, I don't know where all this sports stuff is coming from this morning, because it's not really me, but I'm channeling some sports figure or something. So you've been training for a marathon. Okay? You've been training, and you are so ready. You are so ready to run that marathon, and there are the voices. Oh, my God, I'm exhausted. I'm just exhausted. I don't think I can do this. This is just way too hard. What I don't want to do this. If you were disidentified, you would realize how insane that is for ego to come in at that juncture and attempt that scam. Because you are completely trained. You're completely ready. You've devoted yourself to this. This is what you want to do. And I'm going to suggest that basically, or just encourage you to look, that that's exactly what's happening in your life. And that those voices are telling you that you're exhausted to keep you from having all of that energy for yourself and for your pursuits.
Wow. Yeah, and it also takes the energy away for play, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So then you're just left with exhaustion.
Yeah. Exhaustion, and everything is hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think the turnaround can be as sort of simple and doable when we're in a position to do it. So the thing to enjoy is the human being. Right? Yeah. To
that
focus on
in
her.
My whole body relax.
Yeah. To focus on her, to take care of her, to appreciate her, to celebrate her, to enjoy her, and let her have all of that energy to do what she is in a position to do, rather than having it siphoned off into those voices. Let her enjoy her life, all of it.
Wow, that is so helpful. I just felt that through and through the body, so thank you.
Good. All right. Well, you just go enjoy, okay?
I sure will. Go happy.
All right. Go happy. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate. Oh, that was such a powerful conversation, Sherry. And that brings us to the end of the show. Our assignment for the day, self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this content? Write down the self-hating messages. Note, never record self-hate messages. Example, you're no fun. You don't know how to have fun. Note, the self-hate voice often speaks as you, addressing us as you. RL, what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's got the wrong group of people here, hasn't it?
It completely does.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody. Do go happy,
go happy.
Please. All right. Gusho.
Gusho.